KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John. It is gorgeous on this Friday afternoon here in Metairie. We'll say no one. For Chef Scotty, who's hopefully listening. He's out of town. Brian Fitzgerald, general manager of Europe. New Orleans Gold. The NOLA Gold got a home game tomorrow. We spoke with head coach Corey Brown. We're at the party shack. It is all. I love this.
Yeah.
Until it gets hot.
Yeah.
Then we'll be inside. You have a suite up there, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Two of them. Well, yeah. I mean, there's two for every VIPs for every, but there's also individual suites that you can
use. So when it does get hot, we will do our show from the suite.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Or the beer cooler.
Yeah. Well, the beer cooler will also be coming with it.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, it's not that we need to hang out in the beer cooler. I just as the closest.
Yeah.
No,
you
open
right,
area.
Right the first time hanging out in the beer cooler is fine.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. It's Friday. It is Friday. As we do you have a name for the robot? Is it like Wally or something? It looks like Wally.
It does, huh?
Yeah. Does. Do you have a name for it?
I don't know if they've actually given it an exact name. I don't think so. But I know Helm Paint last year was outstanding with it and giving it supplying the paint, supplying it, and sponsoring it. And it's been awesome. It's been a great, great addition to the NOLA Gold family, the robot that paints the lines on the field.
In other words, what you're saying is you used to have to do that before.
Myself, various other people, yes, multiple. Even our owner Tim Falcon has done it,
right?
You know, so yes.
It is cool. What we're talking about, there's a legit little robot, little field robot, and he's going up and down the field, painting the,
literally
painting the field. It's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
He does look like Wally. You got a name? I just call him Wally.
I'll get one for you. I'll have it by next. I'll have
I'm just
it.
I'm just saying. We went to the air show 2 weekends ago, and I'm a huge airplane buff. And, you know, I'm there to see the Blue Angels. I'm looking at all the different planes. The F-35 is going, I'm like, carver. The dude went over to the two robots the Louisiana National Guard had that, you know, like do mines and bombs and all that. He was just fascinated, enthralled by the robotic machine. Just,
yeah.
I mean, again, cool. That's all. I mean, they are pretty cool. I mean, you know, the one's holding a cell phone, taking videos and all that. And Carver's just, all the kids are just running around. And meanwhile, $3 billion aircraft is doing, like, tight G turns, you know.
Yeah, no big deal.
I'm smelling the jet fuel from the afterburners, hair on my arms, like, America. You know, I'm doing it. And I'm like, oh, if I could just get a ride. Where's Carver? Carver, get over here. That thing's going, it's maybe moving 2 miles an hour, and I'm like, look!
Yeah.
Look at the Blue Angels. They're 18 inches apart.
Just a robot.
So I had to take a step of a walk, because my wife knows. I'm a huge, like, I grew up with, like, bed sheets that were like airplanes. Just, I wanted to be a pilot. That's why I went to Brother Martin and JROTC. I had my whole life planned. I was going to be a naval aviator. Then I was going to apply for my naval space wings, and I wanted to fly the shuttle. Then I hit math. I am absolutely atrocious at math.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem.
Kind of, yeah. Look, they got computer systems that tell me where to go, and if it goes out, I'm already in trouble. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not calculating it. And actually, real pilots tell me, no, actually, you do calculate your fuel and all that.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was my plan. I was ready to go. So I'm enthralled by it. You know, and I'm great. So I'm talking to him about that, and I just mentioned, you know, like 18 inches apart. I mean, I'm like, what? Do you know that kid looks at me and goes, Dad, they're just planes flying.
A little more than that.
I could tell my wife was like, oh, no.
Devastating.
she opens the door. She goes, come on, Carver, let's leave your father be. Because she knew. I was like, did you really just say they're just planes flying?
You're in timeout for the weekend.
I'm like, really? Like, I sit there every day, listen to you tell me all about Super Mario and, I mean, all these magnificent. He knows everything about the video gaming system and the history of Mario, how they came up with it, the Nakatomi, all of that.
Yeah, if you could pull that knife out of my back right now, okay.
That's how I felt. That's what I did. I was like, "How you doing there, Brutus? Appreciate that." I mean, I just, you know, I believe me, I could have just come with my dad or a buddy to the air show instead of y'all.
100%.
I mean, I'm not throwing my wife under the bus, but I'm just saying, and I can do this because I know she's napping at home. She gets off early on Fridays. There was a moment during the Blue Angels show I looked down and, you know, I'll show you the photo. He's looking down. He has, like, this cap over his head.
Just wasn't intrigued.
My wife's staring at her phone. I'm like, why are y'all here? Like, what are you doing? But then again, remember, Ryan, it's just some plane flying.
Yeah.
That's all that is. Let me ask you, as an executive, one of your players said, you know, Ryan, it's just a bunch of guys playing rugby.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that if one of your players said that?
Yeah, that would be an issue for sure after everything they go through and do. And, yeah,
he looks really enthusiastic as he picks up the water bottle. He's like,
hey, look. Didn't really buy into it.
Well, he made himself a game, picking up a water bottle and putting it into the cup holder. Picking up the water bottle, putting it into the cup holder.
Riveting stuff.
Did I mention the Blue Angels were going on?
I heard it.
I'm just making sure you knew that. That's exactly what was going on when that was happening right there. It was really remarkable. Anyway, and yeah, now that same attention span, by the way, still exists as we start game one on Monday. Do you have any advice for me? This is year two for me with him. See, I've coached Little League before, other people's kids.
Yeah.
And it is a little different. It is. Like, I had that enthusiasm all about coaching, and I'm teaching the game and all that. And, you know, and I don't know. Expectation levels. How does that go?
Swing away. You told me earlier six pitches, swing away. I remember.
Six pitches.
Yeah, I remember when I was, it was like 6-7, my dad was coaching one of our Little League teams, and he refused to let us use the tee. No one waited for the tee. Swing away, fire away, six pitches, you know. Out here on a beautiful day, on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, at the ballpark, you get up in the box, swing away.
Yeah. So, you know, I just kind of one of those things. I want to have fun, you know. It's trying to have fun. So I'm reaching out to the coaches, and I want to give them shout outs because it is time consuming and it is cool. You got to have that, right? I mean, it's the same thing with this. You guys are doing that. In terms of rugby here as well, you just mentioned you to have youth rugby going on, high schools and around the area, you're all partnered up. It's so important. Obviously, we see this level, the professional level, where you can make money, where it matters, wins and losses. There's careers. You're a general manager for an organization that does that. So you have ownership to do that. But it all starts at the lower level. You got to teach the game.
You do. Yeah, it's the that's obviously the pathway, and that's our plan down the road. Everybody's come from that, you know. Obviously, rugby here in the United States, obviously, starting off, you know, kind of obviously start off men's clubs and collegiate. You know, a lot of people didn't hear about it until they got to college. You know, now we're feeding down in the high school. Mm-hmm. I started in high school. You know, and now we're obviously trying to even get it lower than that, trying to build that pyramid. That pyramid kind of from the ground up, you know, starting in youth and getting them all of it. And like I said, there's obviously here in the States, which is a great thing. There's obviously a ton of sports to play in, which is great. You know, play them all. But if we can bring in rugby, especially with some of our athletes in the area, especially in the state of Louisiana, if we could do, you know, like Nick Saban talked about years ago, putting that fence around Louisiana and coming right to gold would be great.
Yeah, no, I'm with you to be able to do that. And we got it was Leo Haggard that asked you about being able to get a lot of players from overseas.
Yes.
To be able to come in and play, and that is a key component to this, huh?
Yeah, well, it's massive. Yeah, there's obviously an allotment of players that you can have from overseas on your game day 23 roster. You can't have it all 23. We're trying to grow the game here in the States as well, but you can have 10 out there, and they bring such a obviously a wealth of experience to it, and you know, they're obviously competitive. They're great, and they raise the bar. They raise the standard many times. You know, so sometimes these guys coming over and playing since they were six, you know, playing tackle rugby in New Zealand or in France. Australia, England, South Africa, Ireland, etc. And we can go on. You know, we have 15 different represented from 15 different countries on our 40-man roster. You know, so and guys are playing in the high level. Guys on our team have played in the World Cup. You know, so it's massive to come down here, and they can bring that competitive edge. They can bring their experience to a lot of guys that maybe started in just in high school. Maybe got 10 years. You know, one guy starting at 6, one guy starting at 16. That's a big gap to probably catch up on. You know, so that's where we're trying to lower and shrink that gap. You know, where guys can play much earlier. Guys, men and women, play much earlier. You know, kids all
years. I didn't think about that. Look, we've talked about the women's Final Four here as well. What about women's rugby.
Yes. Yeah, there is teams, women's teams in the area as well here. And obviously when we play youth, it's completely co-ed. We're playing, there are a lot of the kids here are playing flag rugby. So the girls are outstanding. They hustle, they listen, they understand, they pick up the game. You know, they're very, very knowledgeable. They're very coachable. They're awesome. And look forward to continuing to grow their side of rugby as well.
Looking forward to it. One day. Going to come out there and play a little bit.
Yeah. Come on. Just like Marlon Favreite did a couple years back.
Who was the – you had a player here that was doing wind sprints, I guess, who was kind of doing his own training there. First off, I don't look like that shirtless. Secondly, he was doing that somewhat effortlessly. How much conditioning actually goes into this? And I say that because, obviously, there's some substitutions.
Right.
But offense plays defense plays offense. So you're constantly always on the pitch there.
Always.
Legitimately, like, how long does it take to get conditioned to do that?
Well, the easiest way to get into shape is not to get out of shape.
That's how it works.
And, no, I mean, obviously, there's different positions, of course. You know, there's the bigger guys. There's some smaller guys, faster and quicker guys versus your big heavies. But everybody's got to be able to run. I mean, we had last week, Gus, against Dallas, we had two of our front rowers, two of our big guys up front, two props that went down early. One went down because he had a red card, and one went down with a high ankle sprain. And our two backups, Doc Kyrie and Matt Harmon, both had to come on for 67 of the 80 minutes.
Wow.
No substitution, 67 straight minutes of tackle, get up, you know, scrum down, tackle, carry, get up. So even, you know, whatever you're putting up in the gym is great, no matter how much you weigh, all that stuff, great. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, too, you got to be able to run. You got to be able to run all day.
I'm not good at that, by the way. That's why I never played soccer. Did you play soccer or anything of that nature?
I didn't play soccer growing up. No,
I mean, like, when you storm something, you know, in the Marines, everything, like, you kind of want to get it over with quickly, right? I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, it would be easier to get there at point A to point B faster.
I mean, I know there's a really great commercial where, you know, it's like a dust cloud and everyone's running that way and everyone's running the other way.
Right.
It seems like a lot of running, though.
I mean, there is a lot of running, yes. Yes, there is a lot of running, yes. Yeah, that is a requirement.
Y'all wake up and run.
Yeah, that is a requirement that you're not going to be able to hide from.
No?
Yeah, you're going to have to run.
Okay, so you graduated, right? You know, you get commissioned, boom, you're in. You're in the Marines. How many times did you run?
Oh.
You ran a lot.
Every day.
You legit run.
100% every day. Had to.
Overseas, you're running.
If you're overseas in Iraq, we weren't necessarily doing PT and running full time.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
but I mean, there was still. I mean, we still even some of our some of our units that we had out there in Iraq, we still had makeshift gyms where we're still like lifting and still like running. You know,
no,
like,
I understand. Because it goes back to what you're saying. The best way to stay in shape is to
never get out of shape. Yeah. And then when you're over there, you don't have a lot of time to get in shape. You better come prepared, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
And it's kind of a prerequisite. It goes the same thing in the NFL. It goes the same thing here. When you get here on training camp, it'd be great to just come as a prerequisite.
Yeah.
Like, you know, shockingly enough, you know, in your contract, yes, you do have to come here in shape. We're not going to spend a ton of time getting you in shape.
Well, we bring that up a lot. And, again, we're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, and you have done stuff with the NFL and football there as well, scouting and doing all those things. It is remarkable now, though. Look, and obviously I would say rugby's the same thing. Any sport's the same thing. I mean, I'm doing Little League now. Look, I got a kid that can't come to practice because, you know, he's travel balling. I mean, it's a full year, full round thing now where you're either playing that sport, getting in shape for that sport. Sure, there's, you know, getting away mentally and physically to heal and rest and things of that nature, but you have to do something. There's no more, hey, season starts in 6 weeks, I'll see you.
Right.
Week seven.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it.
No.
No. I mean, especially because, I don't know, you know, week one win and week 16 win both count for the same amount of points, so we need all of them. And when you miss some playoffs here and there by a point or two here and there, you need all of them. So, yeah, getting ready, or, you know, using the dust season to get in shape is not good enough.
Okay, I got you. Quick break. We come back more with Ryan Fitzgerald. We talked a little bit about the women's Final Four. We'll get Ryan's take here as well. Maybe he can help. What's going on with the New Orleans Pelicans? Can you play at all?
Yeah, I can.
You can?
Yeah.
What would be part of your game? Tell me when we come back.
I was usually, in high school, I was usually 6-6 and 6. 6 points, 6 boards, 6 fouls.
I like that. Yeah. Sports take over. You take his next one.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything, from making the claim to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Endurance has paid hundreds of millions in claims. Call for your fast free quote today. Call 800-296-6285. That's 800-296-6285. 800-296-6285.
The king is
here. I said, now, oh, what joy bring. We are going, we are going to ring the king.
The King Firm. If you've been injured, ring the king. 504-909-5464.
That's 504-909-5464. Located at 2912 Canal Street, New Orleans. If you're injured in an accident,
I say have no fear.
The King Firm.
The King Firm is here. We are going, we are going to ring the king.
LA 23-15-341.
Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Brian Rucco, we've been having a debate on our show. Canty and I say that if you have to make a reservation, it's not a diner. Small says if diner is in the name, it's a diner. There's a restaurant in New York City that claims to be a diner, but you have to make a reservation at it. Is it a diner?
No, it's not a diner. No chance.
Unsportsmanlike. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. General manager of your NOLA Gold here, but Zion doesn't get a lot of foul calls, and apparently he gets fouled. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did the other day when I was at the game. He's going hard to the paint, and he missed a couple for sure.
Did they? They missed a couple? Yeah. You sure they missed it? I mean, what do you make of the notion that some people kind of say, well, it's just because he's so big that he can kind of handle it. Maybe officials don't look at it that way from that aspect of it. Do you buy something like that? I mean, like, do you see something like that here on the pitch where, like, some of your guys maybe don't, you know, don't get carded or things like that just because, hey, well, they're big guys, they can maybe handle it more or differently?
Yeah, I think that happens naturally sometimes, I guess. You know, you remember a lot of times maybe with Gronk when he was on the Patriots as well, big fella going down. Sometimes, you know, guys around him bumping him or something like that would be an average call, but he's such a big dude that it's not really affecting him, that naturally, you know, and they don't flop and they don't, you know, fall down over the place naturally. They're just not getting the call, you know. They just keep on going to the hoop, and they're playing, you know, playing hard basketball, you know, or hard football as far as running down line. Rugby wise, kind of similar stuff at times. Sometimes we might have a big fellow that just absolutely clobbers, you know, and lights somebody up, and sometimes it might look worse than it is, and it was actually 100% clean hit. And you see that a lot of times now in the NFL, and as well with the targeting. Sometimes it's, you know, probably an awesome clean hit, but just by the impact of it gets you that PI or gets you that unnecessary roughness.
So this is what Willie Green had to say yesterday after practice about that.
I think when you look at his size and his strength and speed, a lot of times they feel like he can play through it. But it's whether he can play through it or not, the rules are the rules. And if you get fouled, you get fouled.
I mean, it's pretty simple when it comes to that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, a foul is a foul. You know, I mean, regardless, you know, you're supposed to. But sometimes it just doesn't naturally happen. We always hear that thing sometimes in the fourth quarter, like, how can you make that call?
Y'all get fined if y'all question officials? NOLA, MLR, Major League Rugby? No,
they don't get fined per se. But, I mean, they have every single week Corey is meeting with the referee council, like the head of referees on missed calls or something like that. It doesn't go to the public and, you know, bash anybody. But
does it get interesting sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, but Corey's pretty obvious. You know,
I mean, I'm not saying I'm advocating this whatsoever, but they may be a fan or two, just like, you know, a friend of mine.
Yes.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind, I don't know, getting, you know, Willie, just go get fined, man. Just grab a chair, you know, just, I mean, enough is enough sort of thing. You saw there were three Pelicans players that got ejected.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, I did.
In the last, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Not one, you know, not two, three.
Yeah. You know,
Just saying.
Sometimes there's a need for that, you know, to get get up in it. And sometimes you got to let them know that you're there. Sometimes you got to stick up for your guy, and it goes a long way. Obviously, you're not encouraging to get suspended or get ejected, but sometimes there's some points where you got to do what you got to do.
It's funny you say that. Coaches, you put that in the same ballpark too as players. Sometimes backing up a player, if Zion goes down and gets undercut like that, having a player stand up immediately, and kind of like we saw that against the Heat, right?
Yeah.
Najee Marshall went after Jimmy Butler, got suspended, and I think you'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta throw and ask questions later.
Really? Spoken like a real Marine. So this is, I don't know if you heard what it sounded like, but this is what it sounded like.
Pulls up, left angle, three. Rebound. Back tapped out to Trey. Trey leans into a three. Can't bank it in. Rebound Carter. That'll do it. They'll get it up the floor to Harris. Bounce feed to Boncaro. And the seal dunk. 8.9 seconds left. And we have got a disgusted...
The technical foul and a toss. Tossed.
Well, he already had a technical. Pels are frustrated. The Magic know it. And this has been... We came into this homestand six games with everything on the line, and the Pels are about to go 1-4 in this home. 1-4 in this homestand. By the way, Trey Murphy got thrown out too.
Well, I mean, for this game, that's where he's heading out.
By the way,
the Magic.
Listen
to the
next whistle.
Exacerbated
there
by applauding the officials. Have been all over the Pels like lotion. I mean, just
it's coming.
They've been on them, slathered. Where you can't get away from them. And it's worn on the Pels. It's worn on them.
There it is.
And now they toss out.
Who else?
It's Bison.
I don't think I've ever seen this, John.
No, I have
we
not.
We just got three guys tossed.
I have not.
Herb Jones, Dyson Daniels. And Trey Murphy have all been ejected.
Yeah, now 7.4 seconds left, so...
Now you hear the crowd. The reason why I kept that long so you could hear, too, because it kind of goes to what I was talking about with you earlier. You could feel it. I mean, that team was only down 3 points at halftime, but it felt more. It was only a 2-free-throw attempt disparity. They had 30, you had 28. 7 of those 30 came from your 7 technical fouls that you gave. So, you actually went to the free throw line more. It didn't feel like that in reality. But that's what I'm getting at, right? I mean, you've been in the box. You've sat next to coach. You've watched the team during the game where it feels heavier.
Yeah.
Right? And that's so hard to get out of because you can say we're not pressing, we're not stressing, we're not. But it's palpable. You could feel it. I mean, there was a sense. You could even hear it in that clip there. I mean, everyone's frustrated. You're looking at it. It was a 6-point game, Ryan.
Yeah.
What, about a minute or so to go?
Yeah, some of those calls are just huge in that exact moment. And you got to do everything you can to just, I know it's easy and cliche to say, but you got to do everything you possibly can to just lock in on the next play, the next one you can't do anything about. You can bring it up afterwards. But I guess at that point in time, once you got the 4 seconds left, it was like, oh, what the hell? Let's get to the showers faster and get out of here.
Is that what it is?
I guess.
Here's Willie Green.
We definitely feel that our frustration is that we don't get the same calls as other teams. That's our frustration. And it's happening over and over again. We'll send the clips in, but we would like to get the same calls. And we're not a team that flops. And maybe we have to do a better job of selling some of them, but we definitely getting fouled, and we feel like they're missing some of them.
Fouls matter. I mean, it just do. I understand you don't want to go to game thinking about it, letting it bother you. You always are told you have to play through that. If you get a card or no, you have to let go of those emotions. Let me deal with the official. Let coach deal with the official. But to your point, timing, right? I mean, Herb Jones got his first foul 16 seconds into the game. You think that matters? Yeah. 16 seconds into the game, your best defender already has one foul. If something else happens, which it did, you have 2 in the first quarter. You think that matters? I mean,
yeah.
it does.
That's tough that early. You know, and especially a great defender like himself playing aggressive and, going in for defensive team of the year. I mean, he's awesome.
Here's what Trey had to say.
I would say this, for me,
I know that we're fighting right now. We're trying to win games. We're trying to string together some games so we can stay out of playing. In a game like that, when you're down six, you take a three, you feel like you got fouled, and you know you make all three free throws in one possession game with 12 seconds left, 10 seconds left. Anything can happen at that time. So I was frustrated. And
apparently there's dogs in the Pelicans training facility there. Dyson Daniels?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more physical, especially, you know, I think one of the reasons is, you know, people are fighting for playoff spots now. It's really close in the West and, you know, even the East as well. You know, people are fighting for their teams. You know, everyone's, you know, playing a lot harder and, you know, every possession counts more and there's more on the line now. So I think that's part of the reason it's a lot more physical. And, you know, when teams get physical, you got to be physical back. So you want to be the more physical team. So it starts from the jump. And last night I felt like they were more physical than us, and we were playing catch-up all game. So for us, it's about coming out with that mentality.
Ryan, that's another element going into tonight's game and in the final six games there as well. You know teams are doing that. And, like, you have scouting reports, and it's not even that, right? It's kind of a feel. You kind of know.
Yeah.
You probably have had some players, too, who are like, man, if they get physical with him, some guys rise up to the occasion, some don't sometimes, right? And it's hard when you look at that from that perspective, but that's the word on this team, get under their skin.
Yeah, there's, you know, obviously you can't speak for the Pelicans in the NBA 100%, right? Like that, but, I mean, we obviously have scouting reports on every team that we do as well, and individual players.
You'll circle them?
Yeah, individual players that you can go after and that we're going to run plays at. And maybe he's not, as, you know, not a great tackler, not a great defender. We're going to come after him. Maybe there is some guys that you put a star next to that can be a little bit of head cases that you can get under him, and then it starts causing panic amongst their team, start making mistakes, start playing outside their game. Maybe you get lucky and he throws a punch and he gets tossed. Something like that, you know. So there are
ways.
He's
grinning, folks, when he says that.
There are ways that you can do things to, I mean, within the rules, but
sure,
you can also obviously come after guys and get and rattle them.
So I was mentioning during a break there, as we go to break here in about a minute or so, I want to take about a minute here, buddy, to shout out to all the guys that are actually going to be coaching us. We're, you know, here at Little Farms as well. We're going to have an official this year. You know, we're going to have an ump. So,
well, there you go. It's getting real.
Again, not that I haven't had that before, but it's a little different now with little guy. But that was the first thing we, you know, Justin Irwin, who's running the show over there. He is the commander, by the way. He was, you know, first thing we walked in. Here's the old sheet of paper. I swear to not, you know, yell at the official, get mad at the umpire a certain way. There's a rule of behavior listed. Is it? You think it's appropriate to just say, I get it's hard. Good job. I know it's hard.
Yeah. Well, it is.
I'm saying sarcastically.
Yeah, of course. You know, but also, obviously over the course
like
of...
Like when I go, good call, Blue!
Yes, exactly.
clearly it's a bad call.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a pretty no-win situation.
Get the next one!
But you know what? You can tell your guys, right. You know, instead of, you know, you know, a way that you don't argue balls and strikes, just hit the ball and play.
I like your approach.
Hit the ball and take the ump out of it.
I like that. No, but I definitely want to give some props and thanks to Jason Schoen. I'm going to mess up with somebody's last name, probably. Jesse Versace, I'm assuming. Jesse, you can make fun of me when we meet on Monday. Steven Bourgeois and Jake Reichert. Of course, Justin running every day. No, honestly, look, it's awesome because it is time-consuming, but we're doing it because we love kids. We love our kids, and we want to go out there and do that. So looking forward to it. First game's on Monday. We got practice on Saturday tomorrow. So I may come here after practice. I got an hour.
Come on.
The field for an hour.
Come on.
So, but we're going to swing on by. But no, awesome. Thanks to everybody that does that. I can't wait to get out there. And I got a listener. Jack said he's going to come see the game on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Standing.
Come on.
All right.
You just can't run on the pitch and tackle anymore. Got that? Shamit Dua next on the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything, from making the claim to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Endurance has paid hundreds of millions in claims. Call for your fast free quote today. Call 800-296-6285. That's 800-296-6285. 800-296-6285.
I'm Gavin Dugas, LSU baseball champion and someone who is passionate about a crucial cause, drowning prevention. In regards to drowning prevention, education is key. Everyone, especially parents, should learn CPR and basic water rescue skills. And lastly, spread awareness about the importance of swimming lessons can significantly reduce the risk of drowning. Water safety is a shared responsibility. By taking simple precautions, staying informed, encouraging others to do the same, we can create a safer environment for everyone. Let's work together to prevent drowning and save lives.
My name is Juanita Segura. I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer for about 8 years now. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Broken faucet? Faucet dripping? Can't stop the leak? You know who can?
Rudiman can!
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back to the Fine On Airline. Outside the Party Shack. 2 more seconds to go here. Schmidt Dua joins us now to talk Pelicans basketball. Schmidt, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, Gus. And I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. At Fear of the Browns, the way to give a follow over there on X, In the Know, the podcast. And, of course, you can go read all of the stuff. Look, I'm just going to get to the point. You tweeted it. You tweeted it yesterday, and you tweeted some numbers. Am I losing my mind? Is it my eyes? Is it just they haven't won some games? Is it just whatever? But is there a difference with this team when Jonas Valanciunas is playing more than 11 and 19 minutes and when he's not? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it's been kind of a bizarre series of events for me, and it's not limited to this season. I think they made similar mistakes last season as well, because 2 seasons ago, they made the playoffs. Jonas Valanciunas was one of their most important players in turning the ship around, and he was their most consistent player. And I think he's been that guy ever since he's been in New Orleans. I think he's getting the short end of the stick when it comes to the rotations and the minutes he's playing. He's kind of being yanked around. You know, he starts the games, but he may not ever, like, play another minute after that. And, look, there's a clear advantage that he presents with his size, his rebounding, his offense. And I think when guys are missing, like Jose and Brandon Ingram, you have to lean into one of your most competent offensive players.
You know, one of the things that I've given you I've credit for, I've talked a lot about you too, is like you've started from the get-go for this season too. You understand the need for defense, but you've always been like kind of like John Madden, you know, you can't win if you don't score points as well, more points than the other team, Schmidt. And you've said that a lot throughout the season in a lot of instances, not just that rotation in particular, but just in different rotations or lack thereof, where when you surround certain players, you need shooters, you need people that can actually put the ball in the goal. And you look at these teams that the Pels have played as of late, they're good defensively, among some of the top teams defensively, OKC, Boston, Milwaukee, whatever, but they also can score, right? They have scores, that people that can score, like Orlando and things of that nature. How do you balance that, or how do you think the Pels can do that better?
Yeah, look, I think Willie Green and his coaching staff have been elite when it comes to building a defensive system that doesn't rely on any one individual. I think they've been consistent about whatever lineup they trot out there, they're going to compete on the defensive end, and otherwise you're just not going to get minutes. And this has been the sixth-ranked defense in back-to-back years, and I think that's super important. What they haven't been able to do necessarily is find that same level of consistency on offense. And look, I think the numbers say, obviously, the Pelicans are a little bit better on defense when Jonas Valanciunas is not on the court. But the numbers say they're pretty fine when he is. It's not like they are bad, right? So if they're not bad and you're winning the minutes, minutes while he's out there, and, you know, you're causing problems for the opponents, you're creating double teams, you're getting on the offensive glass and the defensive glass, I think there's some wiggle room to play him in certain matchups that just are a lot more favorable for them, right? I don't think these matchups against teams that are huge, they have a lot of rim protectors that are just going to kind of ignore Larry Nance, who's been a great player and teammate for them, but he's just not the offensive player that Jonas Valanciunas is. The team still has to guard him. And so I think it's got to be one of the things that the team should be more intentional about and way more situational. I don't think Larry should be their default adjustment. He should be kind of like JV. Like, if the matchup isn't there, you don't play him that much.
How concerned are you when you see what's happened here? Is it just, man, B.I. is hurt, good teams, the frustration of no foul calls, it's snowball effect? Or do you have, like, legit concerns that this team's going to struggle to not play the 9-10 play-in game, Schmidt?
No, so yeah, they've clinched the 9-10 spot. They can lose out. They'll still be in the play-in. But I still think they control their own destiny with regards to the six and being out of the play-in. I'm not, you know, that there's some level of concern, but honestly, to me, it's not anything we haven't seen before. I do think they miss Brandon Ingram a lot, but if we're being realistic, if we look at the Pelicans' records against the teams that they just recently lost to when Brandon Ingram was in the lineup, they've been 0-5 against those teams with him as well. So, you know, I think they've come up short all year against some of the best teams in the league. That's just who they've been. And they've been excellent at taking care of business against teams like the Spurs that are playing tonight. So they're going to have to find a new ceiling. I think when Brandon gets back, you know, hopefully that's soon, and now that Dyson's back and then Trey is back, there is, you know, some wiggle room to play around there with some of your best perimeter players all on the court together. But honestly, I'm not too worried. I do think they have a pathway to six that they themselves control. They'll just have to bring it on the offensive end a lot more.
When you look at this road trip here, or just even the final six, do you feel 4-2? 3-3? Like 2-4, you don't get the six seed, huh?
That's tough. Yeah, I mean, I think 4-2 should absolutely be the goal. You know, you're going out west, and the last game of the season is against the Lakers, and you don't want to enter a situation where that game is what decides if you are 8 or 9. You know, like, the Lakers are right on their heels, and they've been 9 for a very long time. They're behind the Kings. You're going to go play the Kings here on this road trip, so you just don't want a situation where you're coming home to the crib. And where, you know, they just frankly have not been that good of a team. They've been way better on the road, and have that game be a do-or-die type situation where you not only, you know, lose to the Lakers and are in the play-in, but they now have the home court, and you got to go travel to L.A. to play them.
What do you see, man? I know you look at numbers a lot of times here as well. Why is the team better this year on the road than they were last year at home?
Honestly, I think it's a little bit of randomness. A lot of these games are determined by, like, who's shooting well from three. The Pelicans have had a number of high-profile games at home this year where they have just not shot well from three, but their opponent has. And some of that is just the way the ball bounces. But the other thing here is that, like, you know, they've also, I know you play every team in the NBA multiple times, but, you know, I think it's a little bit different where Phoenix is about to come, you know, Phoenix gets to play you twice on your court, and you only get to play them once on their court. If they're going to come in and play you twice, then it's a little bit of confirmation bias where, okay, well, the last time, the both times they came, Booker lit you up for 50, and that's tough. That's super tough. And I don't think there's any kind of, like, repeatability or kind of, like, predictive value to, like, their home record. It's just been disappointing, though, for sure.
What would you say is a key tonight, man? Because I'm a little fearful about the small ball lineup with some guy named Wembanyama because Mo Wagner kind of had his way here. Mo Wagner, I'm not saying he's terrible or he's great, but my goodness, he's not Wembanyama, who's 7'4". Dyson Daniels shouldn't be under the rim, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing. Wemby is going to get his tonight. There's going to be no stopping Wemby. This guy has been on a different level as a player over the last, like, month, 2 months or so. He's going to get his. The key here is this rest of the Spurs team has just been awful all season long, and they're missing some of their best players. They're missing Sohan. I believe they're missing Vassell. So the Pels might be able to get away with their small ball just because how bad the Spurs are. And to me, their small ball has been a little bit of, like, a floor raiser, and it's been a way to beat all these, like, really bad teams. Because, like, when teams are young and undisciplined or they're just not good, their small ball units cause a lot of problems defensively because they force a lot of turnovers. You know, guys like Herb, Dyson, Jose, even Larry, like, you know, they force a lot of turnovers, and that's kind of been their key to the success when they do have it. It's when they, you know, when they run up against disciplined teams, good teams, they're unable to force those turnovers, and then they're playing half-court offense, and there's no spacing. And so I think with the Spurs, there's probably multiple units that they can throw out there that Wemby's going to thrive no matter what, but the Pelicans might end up winning the point differential there just because, like, the rest of the Spurs team is just bad.
I know we say this all the time, wrapping up with Schmidt Dua at Fear LeBron over on X. I know... It's something that coaches touched on. I know it's something the players have touched on. They've said sense of urgency. They've said starts of games. Those two things, to me, the final six, can they be a determining factor on how I even approach this offseason? In other words, if I constantly keep hearing you have to match the sense of urgency or you're not starting out the game the right way, I think those are things that get evaluated, huh?
I think so. I think they're a little bit more of, like, a symptom rather than, like, the root cause. I do think they need to reevaluate the roster. Specifically, I think they need to reevaluate how their big three fits. Each one of those players, very, very talented, very, very good, that's won them. Each of them have had moments where they've contributed to winning and won games for them. But now we're at this point in the season, when the three of them, and then the three of them being CJ, Brandon, and Zion, are on the court together, the Pelicans have a negative point differential. They've been outscored when their three best players are together. Now, if you take any two of those three combinations, they've been really, really good. So I just think that there's an overwhelming amount of data that's working, and I think they are running out of financial runway to have the kind of flexibility they want. Brandon Ingram's up for an extension. Trey Murphy's up for an extension. Obviously, Jonas Valanciunas is a free agent. I think decisions need to be made sooner rather than later, and it's better if they're proactive about it. And I know they're going to be super uncomfortable given the success they've had this season. Like, they've had a lot of success. It's been their most successful season in a long, long time. But I do think if they decide to run it back with how teams are improving, Memphis is going to be right back in it. I think San Antonio is going to be a lot better. All the teams in the West are just going to get better. Running it back, like, being stagnant in the West is the same thing as taking a step back. And so I think they need to be proactive this summer no matter what.
Schmidt Dua, kind enough to give us a couple of minutes today while traveling at Fear the Browns. The way to give a follow over on X, inthenow.substack.com. The coach puts out there. And, of course, you can see what time. In the Know podcast. Man.
Yep. Thanks, Gus. I'm cutting out here, so I'll catch you later.
Is knee pain keeping you from living your best life? Get back into the swing of things with a robotic-assisted knee replacement from Thibodeau Regional Health System. Robotic-assisted knee replacement means greater precision and a joint replacement that's customized to your anatomy. And this could mean less pain and a quicker recovery. Most importantly, it can mean improving your quality of life. Learn more at Thibodeau.com.
This is Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
And the barber takes one look down at me and he says, "Would you like us to wax your nostrils?" I said, "What the hell, let's do this."
What? Come on.
I don't know why I didn't realize how much it was going to hurt.
Oh.
He yanks out that first one. Nothing has ever hurt like that in my life. It's astonishing. I'm begging him not to do the other one. But he says, "No, you got to do it." I came home in tears. I came home literally weeping. I cried like a small kid when they shoot Old Yeller at the end of the movie. Hysterical crying. And I'm asking states for bandages. It bled. I've got blood now. So my advice, if I may, to anyone listening, is if anyone ever says, "Can I wax any part of you?" Say no.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop kayak and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
LSU baseball getting the win over Vanderbilt 10-6 yesterday. They'll take on Vandy again over at the box at 7 o'clock. Matt Moskonen after... two games, and that will be on TBS, not CBS. TBS. And a half point favorites at 7:49 on TBS as well will be Alabama taking on UConn. 11 and a half point favorites are the Huskies in that one. So those are the two sets of Final Four games going on. And again, as we mentioned with the Pels, got to try to find a way to get a win here. Here's Willie Green on the message to the homestand here.
Yeah, it's, tough loss last night. But for me, at the end of the day, it's be steady. Adversity is going to happen at some point. You're going to run into some moments where back after.
Well, one of the things that this team has.
I mean, it's good. You know, everyone's still talking. You know, everyone's still together. We got a really good team, a really good locker room, and Willie's keeping us together. And even if we lose and win, no matter what, we're going to stay together. We're going to stick together and keep fighting. And we've dropped we've had a couple slippages in our defense and stuff the last few games, so we just need to make sure that we pick it up, get on the floor, work together, shoot around, stuff like that, make sure that we're all on the same page and playing the right way.
Trey Murphy, after practice yesterday, on the team's attitude heading into the Final Six.
I think people have such a sense of urgency right now. People are a little angry and pissed off, like we want to win and we want to get back to the playoffs.
that's been our goal since the beginning of the season. So just trying to make sure that's accomplished.
All right, so we'll see if the team can do that. Looking at the NBA scoreboard, some of the games to keep an eye on tonight, Warriors and Mavericks. Want to look at that one here coming up at 7:30, T-Wolves and Suns. That is something that you're hoping, of course, Minnesota wins there. You want Phoenix to get a loss. You want Dallas to get a loss, even though obviously the Warriors are playing better and you're going to face them. They're still far enough below you that them winning tonight would help you because of who they're beating rather than them winning and getting closer to you. You have a 3-game lead on them. So as long as you win, I mean, everything's predicated on that, right? If the Pels win, you need the Pels win. And the Warriors win, you're still going to have a 3-game lead on them with 5 to go. And you play them again on Friday at Golden State. So you definitely want Golden State to win today against Dallas, since obviously the Mavericks are above you by a game in 5th. So a massive game tonight. You really want Golden State to get that win. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that one as the game goes on. Warriors and Mavericks and T-Wolves and the Suns. You want the Warriors to beat the Mavs. You want the T-Wolves to beat the Suns. Those are the two games that really stand out. Jazz and Clippers, look, I'd love Utah to win. I don't know if they are or not. Clippers are 12.5-point favorites there. And when you take a look at it, more than anything, the Clippers have a 3-game lead now on you on the 4th spot. So, you know, again, with 6 games to go, I think if you're the Pels, I what it looks like more than anything else. T-Wolves, Nuggets, Thunder, 1, 2, 3. Clippers, Mavericks, and Suns.